Welcome to Awake Nations Ministries, based in the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Australia. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting awakenations.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
And who am I speaking of today is Mary, the mother of Jesus. What better woman to share about, you know, someone who carried the Savior of the world, who was chosen. Mary was chosen, scholars say, when she was probably 15. Some say she could have even been younger. I can't imagine having that responsibility at the age of 15. And today, many women don't have children until much later in life. But God saw Mary, and Mary was chosen. Amen? So Mary had a visitation, and we're going to read today from Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman of the Lord. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." How did Mary respond? Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Then the angel Gabriel says, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Amen. The word of God. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left. Wow. Can you imagine, women, 15 years old, you have an encounter, a holy visitation from Gabriel, and he says to you, "You are chosen." I can understand why Mary was confused. Why me? She was ordinary. She was average. She wasn't of high ranking in her day. They were very poor, may I say? She was poor. She was insignificant in society, but Jesus saw her heart. You know, God looks beyond the outward. God looks beyond the outward. Sometimes we look at people and we come to decisions quite quickly about who we think someone is, who we think they are. But let me tell you, you never know under those layers of skin who the individual is. You don't know their heart. And as mothers, we have to look beyond what we see. We have to go beyond what it looks like. We have to look at the heart and see who our children are, who the individual is sitting beside you. You don't know what they're going through. Who knows what people are facing today unless we get close to them and really find out who they are. So Mary, she's chosen of God. She said, "Lord, do to me what you desire. Whatever you desire, God, I am willing. I'm your willing servant, no matter what it looks like." But Mary, she had a life planned out. She was betrothed to Joseph. She had a fiance. And those days when you're betrothed or have that fiance, it's not easy to break that bond. You have to actually get a divorce to break that bond back then. So she was betrothed to Joseph. How many women, you know, you dream of when you're young? The man of your dreams, that Cinderella wedding, that beautiful dress, that home that you're going to build, the kids you're going to have, the life that's ahead of you. You look for that and you're like, yeah. But how many know life is not a fairy tale? Life does not always go the way it did for Cinderella. Amen? Like, God knows. And so Mary, she said, I'm willing. But then she contemplated, I'm sure, what is my fiance going to say? What is Joseph going to say? What's going to happen now? But regardless of that, I still honor her because she said yes. She must have thought, you know, when something happens to you, when you get a visitation from God or you have a prophetic word and something is just like, whoa, that really changes the scenario. My life has changed. I was going this way, but now you're telling me I need to go that way. You know, what do we do? But Mary said yes, even though she might have known that she would risk her future with the man of her dreams. But so she is contemplating this, and Joseph, it says in the Word of God that Joseph said he was going to put her away quietly. He cared about her, but he didn't want to cause any embarrassment or harm to Mary. So he decided when he found out that she was pregnant, that probably she had been unfaithful because he knew she hadn't been with him. So he decided, well, I'm going to put her away quietly because he was a just man. And the Word of God tells us that he had an encounter. He had a dream. God came to him and an angel in the dream and said, don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife because the child that was within her has came to her by the Holy Spirit. She is pregnant by God himself. So Joseph knew the dream was of God and he took Mary as his wife. That's faithfulness. You know, God knew what would happen in that situation. That's why he chose Mary, because he saw her. He saw Joseph. He picked someone pure. I can't imagine being 15 years old and having that responsibility to carry the Son of God. So maybe Mary was really envied by many. Wow, she's carrying the Son of God. But how many know she was probably ridiculed? Well, she's pregnant. You know, she is pregnant, and what happened here? So I'm sure she was judged, and she faced that judgment. But nonetheless, Joseph takes Mary as his own. Of course, we know they had no relations until after the child was born. What happens next is the census is drawing near, and Joseph says, well, we have to go to Bethlehem to register for the census. And as they're there in Bethlehem, Mary has a son. And just as it was proclaimed, she had a son. Jesus was born to her. There was no place for them at the inn. She had to go to a low, humble manger. And she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger. And there the Son of God was born. God is faithful. During that time, the word tells us that shepherds were in a field and they were tending their flock. And what happens is they have a holy visitation from heaven saying the Son of God was born in Bethlehem. And how will you know him? You will see him. He'll be wrapped in swaddling cloth and you will find him laying in a manger. And there was a heavenly host giving praise to God because the Son of God was born. A young woman who is willing, a young woman who was faithful, has now given birth to the Son of God. Wow. And the angels rejoiced. And what did the shepherds do? They hurry off to Bethlehem because they want to see the Son of God. They want to see the Messiah. They want to see the promised one. And when they go there, they speak with Joseph and Mary, and the shepherds proclaim what happened, that they saw a heavenly host, that they were told that Jesus was born in a manger. And it says in the Bible that Mary and Joseph marveled at what it said. Mary pondered in her heart. Come on, we need to ponder the things that God has shown us in our heart. Don't forget, Mary pondered that. She heard, you know, yes, the angel told her she would give birth. But how many know we as humans, we like confirmation? We like, God, is this really you? Is this really you? But of course, she knew because she gave birth. But still, she pondered it in her heart that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. Then the word of God tells us that they take Joseph and Mary take the baby Jesus to dedicate him in the temple. So they walk into the temple, and who is there but Simeon? And Simeon said it said of Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. And as he picked him up in his arms, he proclaimed that he saw the Messiah. He said, now I can go to heaven because I've seen the Messiah. I've seen the Holy One of God. The promise has come true. So Simeon, as he was sharing, Anna the prophetess walks in, who was a widow who stayed day and night in the temple. And she too said that he was the Son of God. She acknowledged that he was the Messiah. And Mary marveled. Mary pondered in her heart those things. We have to take the things that God has promised us for our children, and we have to remember them. I actually encourage you to do a journal for each of your kids. The things that God shows you, write them down and pray for them. Pray for them when they're young. I mean, that's one thing. So for me, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mom was a single mom. My dad left when I was 10 for another woman, another family. And so my mom was left to raise us four on her own. She was pregnant with my brother when he left. And so I've had to really understand the will of God for my life in all of that. And I lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, God revealed to Mary the promises of God. So we have to remember. We can't forget the things of God. So my mom never raised me in a Christian home. She didn't know the Lord. She wasn't raised. She was raised by alcoholic parents. My dad was an alcoholic. But God saw me. God saw me. And for me, I really value spiritual mothers. And my spiritual mother was my mother-in-law. So I met her when I was 17 years old. And she was a praying woman. I used to hear her in her bedroom, weeping and crying and praying in some weird language. And I was just like, what is going on? And she would never preach at me, but she would always say to me, you know, Lynn, God has a plan for you. God loves you. And one day I was like irritated because I just wasn't understanding what was happening. And I said, you know, you're nice. I like you, but you're really weird. She had books piled up on her table and her bedside table, all these Christian books and whole about the Holy Spirit. And she'd always have Christian television on playing when I came in. And I'd be like, what's up with your mother? What's going on? She was Scottish, a Scottish woman with a thick accent. I never understood what she said in the beginning. But she was an example to me. You know, she helped me. She helped me get a job. She bought me clothes when I needed clothes for work. She loved me like a mother would. She prayed for me. And that's why I believe that even Glenn and I are here today, because of that spiritual mother in our life. It was an example to me. That was my first spiritual mother. And I've had some over the years, but that's where it started for me, and that was amazing. So Simeon and Anna proclaim, the Lord is God. Jesus is God. Her son is something special. So let's fast forward a bit. Jesus is now 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph are going to the Passover, which they did every year. They were faithful. They were faithful to take their kids to church. They were faithful to train them up in the ways of him up in the ways of the Lord. And we know Mary had other children after Jesus was born, once she knew Joseph. But they took him to the Passover. He was 12 years old. So they went to the Passover, and then they began the long journey home. And they're traveling along with their caravan, a large caravan going back home. And then they suddenly look around and they're like, where's Jesus? Where is he? I can't find him. So they went to their relatives, their friends. He's not there. So they go back to Jerusalem. And where did they find him but in the temple? And it says that people were marveling at what Jesus was saying, the questions he was asking the Pharisees. He was sitting there with the men of God in the temple asking questions. God had revealed so much to him in those 12 years. You know, our kids can learn so much if we train them, if we pray for them. They can have spiritual senses open to what the Holy Spirit said. So, but Mary, she went up to Jesus and she's like, son, where have you been? What have you done this to us? You know, like, what is going on? You're disobeying us. And he looked at her and he simply said, did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business? Wow, that's a light bulb moment for Mary, I'm sure. Like, she didn't understand. She was bewildered. She didn't really understand what he was saying at the time. But she pondered that in her heart. That's another thing that she can put in her heart and remember and reflect back on and look back and say, God showed me that. God did that. God showed up. We all need those moments where we can see God's hand in things. You know, we need to see God's hand in things. And if we're not, maybe it's because we're not going deep enough. You know, we have to put things aside and remember the calling of God on our lives, to seek the Lord until we find him. You know, things that look impossible are not impossible with God. God is a God of impossibilities. And as a young woman, I learned that God shows up when you pray. It wasn't easy, but God shows up. Keep praying. Don't give up. So Jesus, we're told, he went back to them and with them and obeyed them. You know, it says in the Ten Commandments, honor your mother and father, that it might go well with you. Mothers are often hidden in the background. They take care of the kids when they're sick, when they're young. They do the laundry. They make the dinner. They teach them the ways of the Lord. They're there when nobody else sees. Honor your mothers. Doesn't matter if you had a good mother or not. Maybe she did her best with what she knew. That's what I looked at with my mom. She didn't know everything that I know as a woman of God today. But she did her best with the ability that she had. And I was able to just love my mom. When I came to the Lord, I could forgive her for what she did. We have to keep short accounts with God. And we have to be able to forgive and let go. If we don't forgive and we don't let go, we can't go forward. If you want to go forward, let it go. Let it go because God wants to move in your life. You know, it's so important. God is good. We have to just really trust the Lord in our life with what he's given us. Be faithful, women of God. Be faithful. God sees you. He knows your pain. You know, maybe you have a backslidden child today. Someone who's not serving the Lord, but you've trained them in the ways of the Lord. Don't give up. Remember the promises. I had to do that, and I have two of my children serving God right now. And if it hadn't have been for my prayers, I don't know where they would be. And my husband's prayers. We've joined together as a family. We link arms with one another to pray over our kids every day. You have to do that. You have to take time to pray. Take time to believe. Remember God. I remember God when you said that. You said that. You said he would come back to you. You said that you would use him. Sometimes our children pick things, do things that we don't like or we didn't think was right. Maybe you had plans for your kids. Maybe you thought they would do this or that or follow you in your career. Or they would not marry that person that they married. But God, he sees, and we have to love them. We have to love them. I remember one day when our youngest son, he came, he sent me pictures and he said, Mom, I just got some tattoos. What do you think? I said, I hate it. And he's like, Mom, really? I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't like it. And so anyway, he was kind of a bit ticked off at me, I'm not going to lie. But I was just like, God, that's forever. And I was praying and I was crying out and saying, God, they can't take that back. And it wasn't nice little tattoos, you know. I'm like, God, why? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, man looks at the outward, but I look at the heart. And since that day, I don't even see them anymore. It's not a focus. In fact, I don't even mind. I mean, I wouldn't get one, but too painful. Anyway, but you know, God looks at the heart. And look at the generations that are coming up right now. How are we going to minister to people, young people, that don't know the Lord? How are we going to reach them if we're judgmental? We can't be judgmental. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their life. Yeah. You know, you don't know. We gotta love them. Look beyond the surface and look deep into the heart. God sees the heart. So Jesus goes back and he's obedient to his parents, and then he grows in their family, works alongside his dad. It said Jesus was a carpenter. He did what he had to do for that season of his life. But as we fast forward in Mary's journey, we find her at the wedding at Cana. And Jesus has grown. He's a man. He's ready to go into ministry. He's ready to do what God has called him to do. And Mary was at the wedding. And Mary was told that they're out of wine. There's no wine. And what did she do? She went to Jesus and she said, Son, they've ran out of wine. One translation says he looked at her and said, Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time has not come. But Mary was bold. Mary was bold, and she told the servants, do what he tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do. And Jesus, he said to the servants, fill up the water pots with water. And of course, we all know that was the best wine. The best wine. But what I love is Mary's boldness. Some people say, when I did research, they said she was bossy. She was, you know, overstepped. But I honestly don't believe that. I believe she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knew his time had come. And she was standing in the background when it happened, and I'm sure she was doing a yes, 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 finally it happened. Finally I can see some action for the things I've been praying for all my life for him and believing for and standing with him, believing and acknowledging he's the Son of God. I knew I would see some action, but finally Mary was able to see that. Mary saw that. I know I rejoice when I see the hand of God in my kids' lives. In those women I've mentored, I can see that change is happening. Something's shifting. Something's changing. And Mary believed. When you see the miracles, thank God. Don't forget to thank God. Even in the little things that we see. Just this morning, I got a message from my daughter, and it was such a rejoicing message about one of her kids, and I was just like, God, you're faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. When things look like, you know, go the way you don't expect, and they don't look like the way you hoped, and then suddenly God moves, and you can rejoice and say, God, you're faithful. He's such a faithful God. So the water is turned into wine. Next thing, I'm just going to wind up a bit and say, Jesus is on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. And who is there? His mother, Mary. She's known the joy of raising him. She's known the ridicule of being mocked and criticized because she was pregnant, before marriage. She's known the ridicule, and she's known the joy, but she also has known the pain. Seeing her son on the cross, dying for each and every one of you, and each and every one in the world, she saw him on the cross. And what did Jesus do? He gazes at her, and then he gazes at John, and he says to John, behold your mother. And he looks at Mary, and he looks back at John, behold your son. And we're told from that day on that John took Mary and took her into her home and took care of her as his own mother. Jesus cared. He looked with compassion on his mother. He looks with compassion on each one of you. He knows your pain. He knows what you've been through. And Jesus, he was faithful to Mary. He honored his mother. He was the Son of God. But he still loved and honored and respected his mom. He knew what she did. He knew what she gave up. And he died on the cross. And there was Mary. But we're told that Mary is also in the upper room, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come with the disciples. Mary was there from the womb to the tomb. Amen. She was there from conception to the resurrection. Mary was faithful from the beginning to the end. God bless those women who have been faithful in their life with things that you don't expect to go your way. So I just want to close with a couple of men who are known because of their faith that their mothers had. Firstly, John Wesley. He was known as a revivalist and evangelist in the Church of England. He says of his mother, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." Wow. You can have an impact by the way we live. It's not always what we say. It's how we live, how we love them, no matter what. I always said to my husband and I, because my dad, he wasn't in the picture. There was never an open door. My mom didn't know how to love. Although we reconciled when I was older, and she actually received the Lord before she passed away. So I'm so thankful for that. God is good. So, you know, you can make such an impact by our prayers, by the way we live. Keep that open door with your kids. Pray for them. God has something in store. Don't ever give up. And then I love Abraham Lincoln. He was the 16th president of the United States. He quotes, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." All my life, I remember my mother's prayers. They were significant. He also said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Isn't that lovely? All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Come on, we make a big difference in the lives of our kids. You know, maybe you look at yourself and you say today, "I wasn't a great parent. I mean, I had a lot to learn when we were raising our kids at a younger age. There's things I would change." We all can go back and say that, I'm sure. "Wish I didn't do that," or "I wish I did that better." But you know what? God knows. And the important thing is keep the door open with your kids. If you need, as a parent, to ask forgiveness to your children, do it. Whether they're young or old, it's so important. Like, sometimes I see the hand of God in my kid's life, and I don't run up and say, "I told you so. I knew that would happen." No, I ponder it in my heart, and I say, "Thank you, God. You're moving." I don't need to tell them and proclaim, and I don't need to tell them what to do. Our adult children, we have to let them go. It's like the eagle. They throw the birds out of the nest, and they have to learn to fly. It's not easy when you take your hands off your children after you've poured so much in. You want to hang on. Mary let go. She released Jesus. She knew. And she received the reward. So we have to just let our children go. So the importance of spiritual mothers and fathers are such a key thing in the church today. Amen. Look, we want to reach our younger generation. We want to. It's important. In this house, it's so important for us to reach those who need Jesus, to reach those who, you know, we can pour into and make a difference. We can make a difference. Let's not be judgmental. Let's be loving. When we see new people come in and we see younger people come in, love on them. You don't know what they've been through, but it doesn't matter what our age. We value mothers and fathers, sons and daughters. We're family. Awake Nations, that's one of our core values, is we are a family, a covenant family. We want to set that example for those who walk in the door. We want them to feel the love. We want them to know they are valued. And, you know, last week was our first Sunday as Awake Nations, and we're excited about the new journey. But the Lord, you know, he spoke to me, and he said, I'm giving you more elbow room for your growing family. So yes, it might not look huge right now. And he also said, do not despise the days of small beginnings. Come on, we can't despise and say, oh, wow, this is just a small, insignificant church. No, we're on the map, and we're going to make a difference because the Holy Spirit is with us and has called us to do that. So begin to really pray for spiritual sons and daughters to walk through those doors. Amen.